to say.
This morning, and we praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. So good to see each and every one of you right here in the beginning. Just want to welcome our visitors, those that are visiting with us this morning. Well, you are a special guest, and thank you so very much for being here. And like I say, we do have some special visitors with us. Pastor Emeritus Reverend Snyder Turner, Pastor Emeritus Miss Marcia Turner. And so good to have them with us, and good to have Miss Christy. I don't believe we've never formally met, but I hear that you were brought up there at the children's home, and so good to have you with us this morning in the service. All right. Yeah, amen. Heard a lot of great things, So welcome home. Good to have you this morning, and amen. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving this week, and Thanksgiving holiday, the days that followed, and everybody be on high alert for crazy shoppers going up and down the roads, and it is a crazy time, but we certainly had a great Thanksgiving, and we appreciate all of you being here this morning. I want to mention a few things before we pray. Brother Jeff Hodges took a trip down to Panama City. His sister-in-law, Angie, passed away. And Angie was in service with us not long ago, and she had some heart conditions she was dealing with. And so Brother Jeff recovered from his surgery, but then went down to be with his brother during this time. So please remember her family. Remember Miss Claudia. She has a biopsy coming up this Thursday. Also remember Brother Don Rich as he receives results from his heart test, stress test he had done. Should be on the 4th, December 4th on that. So remember him. Also remember Miss Mary Kelly in your prayers. Her niece has cancer, and she's getting ready to have surgery. But also we have a good friend. I don't see him here this morning, but a friend of ours, Ricky, is getting ready to have surgery. I believe that's tomorrow. Miss Robin, is that right? Tomorrow. And I believe he's having a mass removed from his liver. But let's remember our friend Ricky, if you would, in prayer. Good to see Miss Pat with us this morning, her and her broken arm that's healing. And so good to have you back with us. And we're continuing to pray for you, of course, in that healing. Hassan, do you have something? Okay. Let's remember Hassan, and as he goes back to the doctor on tomorrow. A few announcements. We'll save the majority of the December announcements probably for next week. But I do want to say that we have our Calvary Baptist Church Remembrance Tree in the back there. And what that is, that's a tree that was placed there so that you can bring an ornament, place it in the memory of a loved one that's gone on to be with the Lord. But also I was thinking this morning, you can also place an ornament on that tree. Maybe if there's someone in your life that you're praying for that needs to be saved, or that's away from the Lord, just someone in your life that's special, and certainly those who've gone on to be with the Lord. That's our tree of remembrance. So take advantage of that. That's a very meaningful and special thing that we have here. And so remember that. Also remember on the 10th of December, we're going to get into a little bit of the announcements for December, not all of them, but on the 10th, we're going to have Christmas communion that morning, and that'll be a great time. Remember that. CLU will have their Christmas luncheon to follow in that morning service just after. And then pay attention to this announcement here specifically, because on the 17th, in the evening service, not 5 o'clock, but 6 o'clock, we're pushing it back 1 hour, we're going to have our Christmas program. That's on the 17th in the evening at not 5 o'clock, but 6 o'clock for this Christmas program. So remember that. A couple other things briefly. Second Thursday of every month is the ladies' prayer brunch, and that's coming up quick. And so that's going to be in the fellowship hall, but it's going to be Christmas theme related. And so ladies who attend that, bring a Christmas dish. And one last thing, the tree lot's open. And so remember the tree lot. Go get you a Christmas tree. I'm sure Brother Brian would love to have some help too. And so if you're interested in helping out with that, please see him. And it's just a wonderful time of year over there at the Children's Home and here at Calvary Baptist Church. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. God, thank you, Lord, for the visitors that we have this morning. Thank you for those who've come back home to be with us. Lord, I just pray for a special blessing over them today. Father, we lift up all these requests to you, those who are going for doctor consultations, those who have had surgery, those, Lord, even who are making funeral arrangements and getting ready to go to the funeral home, Lord. I pray for them as well, that you would be with them. We pray this morning that you would have first place in this service, be with the singing, be with the preaching. And when it comes invitation time, we pray, Lord, that you would move during that time as well. We love you today, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, if you'll stand with me, and turn over to page number 286. Let's everyone stand and sing together, The Glory Land Way. All right, everyone sing now.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way going through.
So much for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. It is great to see Brother Don, Miss Carla with us again this morning, and we are praying for a great outcome from the test that he had on Tuesday. And Christy, it's so good to have you in the house of the Lord with us today. Boy, that brings back some memories. I mean, the memories. I actually had someone come up to me sometime through this week and say, do you still have those girls come over to your house that you used to have come over for Christmas? And I thought, that's them. And here she is this morning. You're not here for Christmas, are you? So glad that though miles and years may sometimes keep us apart, this is still home. Amen. This is still home. And I'm so thankful to see you this morning. We did. We had the girls. We couldn't have them at the same time because they fight. But we would have them one at a time.
But I always won. It don't
matter. Yes, you did. As a matter of fact, you did, but we wasn't going to get into all that. But we had a they took styrofoam cups and wrote their name on it and said, you keep this until I get back the next time. And every time they come over, we'd open up that cabinet and they'd pull that styrofoam cup down. Man, I'm talking about those were some great times. But it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. God's so good. Amen. And I'm so thankful to be able to be in his house today. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I am in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer, and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. So good to see you here this morning. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Please remember our Christmas program this year. I'm stretching the choir a little bit. I really need to stretch them because we're a little few in number. But the children's home, they're going to be able to be here with us on the 17th. In the evening service. That's one of the reasons we had to push it out to the 6 o'clock service. But please, I'm going to encourage you to invite folks to come. I would love to see this place full. I'll tell you what it does, having it on the evening service. A lot of folks don't have church anymore on the evening service. So contact some of those churches and say, hey, why don't you come over and share with us in an evening service as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. You challenge some folks to come. I'm going to challenge the choir and our musicians, and I believe God's going to do some great things on the 17th, and I'm looking forward to it and hope that you'll pray for us as we try and make ourselves ready. Father, we love you. And how we praise you and how we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, that's more than just words. There are a lot of folks, I realize this morning, that would love to be here and just can't for whatever reason. They love to be in church somewhere and can't. But Lord, we thank you for that avenue of Facebook so that they can be with us virtually. And Lord, I thank you for that avenue. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here in your house this morning. We've come this way that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you are the reason we're here. You're the reason that we come this way and that we can celebrate and we can sing praise unto you this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would accept our worship and our praise today. Lord, some folks are going through some very difficult times. Lord, for some, this will be the first holiday that they might not have their loved ones with them. And God, I remember what that's like. And I pray that you would touch them in a very special way. Give them that peace that does pass all understanding. And Lord, I pray that you would be our pastor this morning. I pray that the message would speak to our hearts. Open us up, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us. When we leave this place, we'll be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord today. Lord, especially, Lord, if that person that's here that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that that you would just draw them, Lord, to repentance through the convicting power of your Holy Spirit that only you can do, Lord. And I pray that you'd save someone in this place today. Touch the offering now, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what's needed. We'll praise you, Lord, and we'll thank you for all that you do in this place today. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I've been feeling and the emptiness. See, I've tried so hard just to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, see, I confess that you love me. I confess how you care through your precious blood. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. And Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. Thank God. And your ear is open every time I pray. Close to me, you see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'm sorry to say I stand here today. I've not always done what I'm supposed to, always done the right thing. But I am so thankful to know that I serve God who's willing and able to forgive us no matter what. Okay? Even though we stumble and even though we fall, yeah. He still loves us.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know if I can go. Go through this again, but I just feel like somebody needs to hear what God's trying to say to us, his words this morning. So, Andy, if you would, David, if you would, go second verse. If you would, let's take it back. I want you to understand, folks, Yes, it's true, there have been days when I felt you. And Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. Listen, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. Listen to this. And his ear is open, thank God. Every time I pray, no one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends have never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Why? Because you're already there.
those leftovers Grand gave us?
I am.
Oh, fix me a plate and put some extra dressing on it.
I've got it covered. Smash it, Ellie. With leftover turkey.
Nice. You got any more leftover dressing?
Oh my gosh, we still have so many leftovers.
Yep. Let's mix it up tonight.
Okay.
Turkey quesadillas? Turkey Alfredo. Turkey lasagna.
Kung Pao turkey.
Turkey smoothies to wash it down.
Oh. I can't eat any more turkey. Let's just order a pizza.
We can't waste Grand's leftovers.
Well, Grand doesn't know. Won't hurt her.
Order the pizza.
Okay.
Hey, sweetie. Grand. I brought you some more leftovers. And I got here just in the nick of time. This guy was trying to deliver a pizza, but I sent him on his way.
Of course you did.
John chapter number 6 this morning, if you would. Book of John, chapter number 6. There's at least three great things about Thanksgiving. Number one, the opportunity to reflect on the goodness of God. Number two, to eat. But number three, leftovers. Leftovers. And you know what leftovers are, the things that you eat for the next week after Thanksgiving. And the little mini clip we watched, I thought was pretty appropriate for the message for the occasion of Thanksgiving. Hope everybody's had a great Thanksgiving holiday. And now we are crossing the threshold into the Christmas season. I do want to mention a prayer request briefly before I begin. Please remember my Aunt Patty in prayer, if you would. She's going for back surgery. Is that next week? And so she needs your prayers. I want to talk about this morning for a few moments the leftovers that were found here in John chapter number 6 in verse number 12. But first, you know the story. There was a hungry multitude that followed Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples what to do, which to me is kind of funny that Jesus would ask his disciples what to do. Jesus knowing everything, and yet he asked them what to do concerning this situation of this hungry multitude. And so they gave their responses. Then there was a young boy which gave over his lunch to the Lord, the two fish and the five loaves. Jesus blessed it and distributed it, and 5,000 plus were fed. And so that's the occasion here. Of course, it's a very familiar story. But I do want to begin reading in verse number 11 here in John chapter number 6. The Bible says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments, or the pieces that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." It's reading John chapter number 6, verse number 11 down through verse number 13. What was it about these fragments? What was it about these leftovers that we read about here in the scriptures? Well, we will answer that in just a moment, but I do want to mention some other things first. And while there are several things you can mention in this story about the feeding of the 5,000, I'm only going to mention three things this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you in your life. Number one, I see a dilemma. In verse number one, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So we have a dilemma here. There was a hungry crowd that was present. It was this same crowd that had been following Jesus because of his miracles. It says so there in verse number 2. They weren't following him because of his messages. They were following him because of his miracles. And we have a crowd today that isn't following Jesus because of the gospel or the preaching thereof, but they're following him because of the miracles. And that's what we have here. We have a hungry crowd that's following Jesus because of his miracles. Now, let me say that within this dilemma, this hungry crowd, we see three types of faith from three types of people, or three different people. Number one, there is Philip, who shows no faith. And then there's Andrew's response that shows some faith. But then there's the little lad who gave his lunch who showed all faith. And so there's three types of faith here when it comes to this dilemma. Notice number one, Philip's faith. Philip's faith. And Philip is a picture of one with no faith. Verse 5, the Bible says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, now listen to this, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus asked Philip what to do. Isn't that funny that the Son of God would ask what to do? You know something's up his sleeve. When the God-man asked Philip this question. But notice verse number 6. And this he said to prove him. That word prove means to test. And this he said to prove him, for he, Jesus, himself knew what he would do. And so we have Philip here who is tested by the Lord. The Lord asked Philip, Philip, how are we going to feed the multitude? Look at verse number 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. The kind of attitude Philip had here, the kind of way that he looked at this situation, I like to call it this. It was Philip tried the calculation method. The calculation method. Now, Philip, he reaches in his pockets. Jesus says, Philip, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed the multitude? And Philip goes down in his pockets. He says, well, Lord, we got about enough money to buy 200 penny worth of bread. It's about all we got. And so Philip is calculating how they're going to handle this situation. Now, 200 penny worth of bread here is equivalent to about 7 months of wages. And so Philip, he is listening to the Lord. Philip, what are we going to do? How are we going to purchase bread enough to feed this multitude? Well, Lord, I'm checking and I'm thinking and I'm trying to calculate how this is going to be done. This is a picture of someone with no faith. But yet, how many times in life do we try to calculate how things are based upon our own resources? We, so to speak, reach in our pockets and we're like, Lord, well, I just don't know. I don't know how these bills are going to get paid. I don't know how I'm going to meet this deadline. I just don't know how it's going to go with the doctor. I just don't know how it's going to go at work, if I have my job or not. We try to calculate our resources based upon what we're viewing, the perception of things. And so we have a question from the Lord unto Philip. Again, he asked in verse number 5, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And again, verse 6, and this he said to prove him or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. This morning in your life situation, Jesus knows what he's going to do. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you trying to calculate the outcome? Are you trying to look within yourself for resources and being able to take care of the situation? Or are you leaning upon the Lord and relying upon him and his resources? We all experience that at one time or the other. No faith, don't we? When we have these challenges and we have these crossroads in life, or we're faced with mountains and problems, and we just try to figure it out and calculate how it's going to work out, when all along and all the while the Lord wants us to trust in him. So number one this morning, when it comes to this dilemma, we see Philip, which was tested and exhibited no faith. But then we see Andrew in his response, which showed some faith. Look at verse number 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but, what are they among so many? And so we have Andrew, and he recognizes that this little kid has a sack lunch with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And so he is borderline believing God for a miracle. Well, Lord, here's a little lad, 2 fish, 5 loaves. But what is it among so many? Either sometimes in life we're exhibiting no faith, or sometimes in life we are exhibited some faith. And the some faith I'm talking about is faith that is mixed with doubt. How many of us this morning are faced with circumstances and situations we don't know the outcome of? There's doctor's appointments we have to go to. There's deadlines we have to meet. And we just don't know how we're going to produce to meet all these responsibilities. We don't know the outcomes of everything. We believe God can. But the question is, do we believe God will come through for us? And so Andrew here, he has a mixture of faith and doubt. And a lot of us many times exhibit this faith and doubt. He says again in verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? There's a third type of faith when it comes to this dilemma of feeding the multitude, and that is all faith or great faith. And this has to do with the lad and his lunch. Verse number 9, the Bible says there is a lad here. So there was a boy that was present, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Listen to this first line of verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. This implies that the lad gave it. I doubt very seriously that Jesus said, give me those loaves. Give me those fishes. He's more of a gentleman than that. This little lad, he gave the loaves, which implies a childlike faith. He didn't try to reason within himself. He didn't try to argue the situation. He just gave his lunch to the Lord. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. This is a picture of someone with all faith or great faith. You just believe that God can, and you believe that God will if he wants to. But I want you to notice something, that there were two things that took place here. There was a transfer and there was a transform. There was a transferring of the lad's lunch, and then there was a transforming of the lad's lunch. The little boy gave it to the Lord, and then he transformed it and fed the multitude. You may be here this morning and say, Brother Justin, I don't have any great gifts or talents, or I don't have much financially, or and I got all these problems in my life. There's no way that God would bless me or use me. Oh, yes, he would. And oh, yes, the Lord wants to. He's not looking for greatness. He's not looking for great talent. In fact, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And all he wants is for us this morning to give them what we have. Give them what we have. It may be a little bit of strength. Give that little bit of strength to the Lord and he can multiply. It may be a little bit of resources financially for some matter. Give it to the Lord and he'll multiply. Whatever it is, if you give it to Jesus, he has a way of transforming the thing we have transferred to him. You have a bad problem this morning. Transfer it to the hands of God. You've got a terrible situation at work this morning, something you're not looking forward to walking into tomorrow. Don't keep it in your hands, but transfer it to God, and God can transform it. There may be a problem at school, young people, that you're dealing with, and you may be so tired of dealing with it. Transfer it to the hands of the Lord, and he can transform that problem. I'm glad this morning that we serve a God who knows how to transform what we transfer. And we see a picture of all faith here, or great faith, and it's through the little lad and his lunch. And so sometimes in life when we are confronted with dilemmas, we express no faith. Other times some faith, but the goal is all faith. Number one, we see a dilemma when it comes to these leftovers. But then number two, we see a directive. A directive. Look in verse number 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments or the leftovers that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. We see a directive here. What do you mean directive? These disciples were directed to gather up the fragments. Gather up the pieces that were left, the broken pieces. Gather them up. Why was it important to gather up the fragments? Why are these leftovers so important? Was it just a lesson to be thrifty and frugal? I believe it's much deeper than that. Number one, I believe that it had to do with God being provider, was one of the lessons here to the disciples for gathering up the fragments. I used to think about these fragments, that these fragments were directed to pick up from the crumbs that were from the lips of the crowd. Now listen to me. That was my way of thinking. Gather up the fragments. And my way of thinking was, okay, well, everybody's eating and the crumbs are falling on the ground. And so the cleaning crew comes up afterwards and rakes them all up and picks up the crumbs, and there's 12 baskets full. Just hear me out on this. I think it was a little different than that. Everything that Jesus does and did was for a purpose and it had meaning to it. If that course of thinking was correct, that they were to pick up the crumbs from the lips of the people, this would mean God's supply is limited. Think about it. If they were to pick up the crumbs from the lips of the men, the women, the boys and girls, gather up the fragments so that none will be lost, and so you will have plenty, that would imply that God's resources is limited. Listen to this. In verse number 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I don't believe these fragments fell from the lips of the crowd. I believe that the Lord had a fresh supply that was left over that hasn't even been touched. Listen, this would mean that God's supply was limited if they had to pick up the fragments from the lips of the people. But this morning, God has grace that's inexhaustible, that hasn't even been touched. This was fresh bread not touched, fresh bread not eaten. And it was 12 baskets full over and above that the people had eaten. God's grace this morning is inexhaustible. There's plenty of grace. There's plenty of supply for everybody. God doesn't have to use crumbs to feed us. God has great grace to feed us, untouched grace to feed us, plenty of supply of grace and resources to minister to us and to feed us. We don't have to eat on crumbs. God gives us what He wants us to have. Fresh, inexhaustible, the good grace of God. Let me give you another reason. Or the fragments or the leftovers. Not only I believe these fragments are a picture, and they gave a message of God's inexhaustible provisions, but another reason for these fragments or leftovers has to do with detail. It showed that God is a God of details. Listen to me. He could have dismissed the leftovers, but He didn't. Everybody was fed. He could have said, pack it up, men. Let's move on in the preaching tour. But He said, gather up the fragments that none be lost. And He said that because He is a detailed-oriented God. He didn't dismiss the leftovers because He had a purpose for the leftovers. Again, it was to show His inexhaustible provisions, but also He was going to use the leftovers in a future storm. God this morning is a God of details, and He is in the details. This morning, let us take a hard look into our troubles. We can find a purpose there that God is working to be accomplished. That struggle you're going through, that setback, that betrayal of a friend, you may think that's the worst thing ever in life, what's happening to me right now. But listen, if you belong to Jesus, God is even working in those setbacks and heartaches. Why? Because we serve a God of details. Not only God is in the details of our troubles, but God is in the details of our good times as well. Every time we wake up and see the sunshine, that is God in the details. Every time we go to sleep at night and we bow our head in gratitude, that's God giving us a good night's of sleep. And every time we wake up in the morning and we hug our spouse, that is God being in the details. And every time we get in that car to go to work or school and God allows that switch to turn over, that is God in the details. Listen this morning, God is not only in the bad times, but God is in the good times. We can see very plainly and clearly that He works in the details. There's a reason for the fragments. There's a reason for the leftovers. Thank God for the God of details and God being in the details. I'm so thankful this morning that He gives me a family to have. The home I live in. The transportation I have, food on the table, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, money in the bank, at least at the first of the month. God's all in that. This morning, God is in the details. Whatever you're going through, it may be a setback, it may be a heartache, it may be some disappointment. If you look hard enough, you can find the Lord working in the details. And praise the Lord this morning, if you're going through a good time, or you're experiencing a good time rather, and the sun is shining on you, God is all in that. God is in the details. So we see a directive here. Gather up the fragments. So he gathered up those fragments. The disciples did. And they were fresh pieces, not touched yet. And it was for a purpose. It was to show his inexhaustible provisions, but also it was later used in a storm. Not just the thought, but I believe the actual fragments as well. God is a God of details, and he's in the details. Let me mention something else. Not only do we see a dilemma, we see a directive, but then we see a declaration. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 6 for just a moment. Mark chapter number 6. Same story. Just experienced the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. You know, there was a feeding of 4,000 as well? Mark chapter number 6. Again, we see that through much of these verses, there is the same experience, the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 38, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they know, they say five and two fishes. Just a different viewpoint from Mark. Verse number 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. Don't forget the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves. Were about 5,000 men. And look at verse 45. And straightway. You'll find in the Gospel of Mark many times that word straightway. And it means at once. At once. No delay. At once. Straightway. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get to the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, working hard, exhausted. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now let me just stop there. Why were they so amazed and beyond measure and wondered? They just saw him feed the 5,000. That's just counting the men. Count the women. Just say one child and the wife. That's at least 15,000 that were fed. But yet they reverted back to fear and no faith here. And they were amazed beyond measure. They wondered at this thing that God had did. Quieted their storm. Look at verse 52. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. That word hardened, it doesn't mean being contrary to God and his doctrine. It just simply means that they were dull of perception. You know, God can do a mighty work in our life. Let a couple days pass by. If we're not careful, we'll soon forget it. And we'll be troubled again, wringing our hands. Well, the next time the phone rang with bad news and whatnot. We're people who grow dull of perception. We forget. Let us not forget the works of God. They forgot the miracle of the loaves. But I said a moment ago that these fragments had meaning, and it had to do with the inexhaustible provisions of God, but also had to do with these fragments of the storm. Not only they didn't remember the fragments, but I believe those fragments were in the boat. Again, verse 45, that word straightway means immediately. Jesus fed the multitude, disciples got in the boat, and they had their loaves with them, and then they were in a storm. Not only they didn't remember what God just had done, but they didn't even focus on the loaves that were between their legs in the boat. God uses details. Whenever we find ourselves in a place of trouble, in a place where it's very stormy and life is contrary to us, let us reflect back on the blessings of God. He did it before and He'll do it again. What other option do we have, church? There is no other option but to trust Him. And so we see that the writer here, Mark, says that they didn't think about the miracle of the loaves. They had soon forgotten, dull of thinking. And again, it's of my thought that it's very possible that these fragments were on the ship and still didn't believe. And so I believe those leftovers were for a purpose. And I've said them, the purposes, two or three times this morning, but as they come with a song, verse of invitation, what is it in your life this morning that you just need the Lord to step in and help with your circumstance, your situation? You may be giving Him the leftovers of your faith. You may be giving Him the leftovers of your strength and all of those other things. You just may be not relying on Him as much as you should. Let us this morning not be people of no faith, some faith, but let us be people of all faith. We could go around the room this morning, and I'm sure everybody in here could say that there was at least one time where Jesus stepped in when it was hopeless and changed everything. Well, guess what? He hasn't changed at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If He did it in the past, He could do it in the present this morning. So He tells His disciples to pick up these fragments. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the message. I pray that maybe it has touched a heart, strengthened someone's faith, maybe gave them a little light on their pathway. But I pray that You'd move during this time of invitation, whatever the people may need. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Let's stand to our